There was two Bibles in the whole church until the 50 were donated by an individual in this church that was carried over there. So now they have 52. Thank the Lord. Thank you. Seriously. And they just worshiped and praised. And I'll tell you this. There's a lot of witchcraft over there. So in all seriousness, what the scripture talks about, you know, in Mark 15, 16, God says, you're going to go out, you're going to cast out demons. You know, if you drink poison, you know, you will not be sick. You're going to lay hands on the people and they're going to be filled with the Spirit. And all those things will happen. Listen, about everything happened except for drinking the poison. And we might have, and we might not have known it. We're totally healthy. Okay? We're totally fine. Nobody got sick. Nobody had any issues. I didn't even get bit by a mosquito, I don't think. I think Tyrone did. But I didn't. But everybody loved Tyrone, even the mosquitoes. So, you know, I mean, what else? So, as we preached, you could sense a battle Wednesday night. It's really phenomenal. Guys, you would have been so impressed with all of them. I mean, unbelievable. And then on Thursday night, Tyrone preached on forgiveness. Powerful. But we had to break through Wednesday night. We realized that we were going up against witch doctors and demonic around that area. And we began to say, okay, what's going on here? So we begin to pray. And we get up in the mornings, what, 5:30 and start praying. And we would pray together, and we would pray, and the power of God began to move. I mean, Julie came in, wham, wham, wham. I mean, she gave him some pops, man, and he was going down. And then Tyrone comes in, preached on forgiveness. Bap, bap. So when I stepped up on Friday night, it was like, you know. I mean, it just kind of broke through on Friday night, but it was because of the prayers and the preaching of the word, which was anointed and powerful by these two. You need to applaud. I'm telling you, if you were there, you'd be blown away. So we preached, and every night after the service, people would come forward and we would pray for those people. And as we prayed for those people, so often this was the theme. They would have nightmares, body pains, and all kinds of things. Well, the next question is, did you make a covenant with the witch doctor? Did you go? They would cut themselves. Inevitably, the answer was yes. Yes, blood covenant. They literally would cut themselves and put powder in there and make a covenant with these witch doctors. To them, a witch doctor is like us going to a medical doctor or, you know, counselor, because, I mean, he's going to help them out. But you could sense the demonic, and there was a whole lot more I won't go into. But on Saturday, we taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's like the Bible in Acts where they come up and they go, we know about Jesus, but what's his baptism? So there was, what, 25 or so people there? And Julie taught that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable. Julie was, listen, it was phenomenal. I wish you could have all been there. She's in another element when she goes overseas. I mean, you've seen Julie and you know Julie, but I'm telling you, the rest of us, we saw Julie like in this element, like, wow. So we preach and we pray for people. And listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit hit those people, hitting the dirt. They don't know what they're doing. Wham! And we go, are they praying in Chichewa? Nope, that's not Chichewa. That's their native tongue over there. On Saturday night, after all that was going on, we got together and we said, look, we have got to really hone in on Saturday evening. So on Saturday evening, we got together and we came up, and Julie, really, with the leadership of Julie, the three of us and four of us, actually, we sat down and we figured out what we've got to do. So we had to come up with a visual skit because they're very visual, and they understand the spiritual, you know, and the demonic and all that. So we came up with this message about there's two kingdoms. You're making your relationships with that. And so we need to do this. So we came up with this skit. Tyrone was the guy that was entrenched in that. Julie was telling the message. I played Satan.
They cheered for him.
They started cheering for me.
He's the devil.
I came out as Satan, started wrapping him up, and they're going, yeah. And I go, don't you cheer for me. I'm the devil. And so they started booing me, which was better. Stephen was the pastor. Basically, he got wrapped up, made covenants. They were broke. They were broken off. Do you want to say something?
No.
Okay. And so he realized he was totally wrapped up. I had him wrapped up in so much rope that Tyrone could not do anything. I jerked him. He lifted his body of 225 pounds of raw meat and hit the ground. And then I stepped on top of him and said, I've got you, basically. And then they called the pastor who came up and began to pray. These people are watching it. I'm telling you, they were glued. Oh, yeah, they would go to the witch doctor. Doctor, help my child. Which doctor? My business is not doing well. Can you please help my business? Yeah, and I would wrap him more. Which doctor, one kid I actually prayed with, I said he was taking his finals in school. He went to the witch doctor so he could get help to pass his finals in school. 15-year-old kid. So, just everything that you can think of, they would go to the witch doctor to get their results. The thing is the pain might be in their shoulder. It might leave, but it would go to their leg. It never left, you see. They were just being wrapped up and entrenched in just the evil. And they didn't realize that, but as we preached this message, it began to dawn on them what was going on. And as the pastor began to pray, and then Pastor Ezekiel, the guy you saw dancing, well, he stepped up and played God, and they told me, be gone through the prayer, and I just ran out into the night screaming and just stayed out there, heart pounding through my chest, because I played that part, was tough. Bottom line is this, Julie stepped up and finished this thing. I started it, Tyrone came up, and then Julie finished it. As she's preaching, I'm telling you what happened. We can't make this up. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is called the Ruah. It's called the breath or the mighty wind. It's like a wind of God. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called like the breath or the wind of God. It was overcast a little bit. No problem. Little sprinkles, real calm like in here. As Julie began to preach, she stepped into this element. She kept going up, up, up. I mean, Tyrone and I and Stephen, we're standing over there going, who is this? The Spirit of God so filled and covered her and so was so powerful inside of her. As she's preaching, the wind began to blow. And I'm not saying blow. I'm talking the wind came from the front. Like let's say this is the tent. I'm standing, Tyrone and I and Stephen are over here this way looking, and this is the front. And there's two sides on this tent. There's a building right there. The wind came this direction and turned in and went through the tent. Billowed out the tent. And it just kept coming and coming and coming. And the people began to just worship and just pray and renouncing the demons and renouncing the things, the demonic. And the presence of God kept blowing in and blowing in. I mean, I thought the tent pegs were going to come up. Julie was so focused. I'm telling you, the tent would have left and she would have never stopped. It was unbelievable. I'm telling you, the presence of God. It was tangible. You could feel the presence of God. It was that strong. Oh, yeah. Stephen was behind us. I think he was taking the whole thing. I mean, I jumped in front of Stephen. Stephen, hold me down. I mean, even at the whole time, that was the presence. And now this is the truth. When the power of God was so strong in that place because of the presence of the Spirit of God, and the worship was off. I thought the tent was going to fly. As soon as the message and everything was over, as soon as it was over, the wind goes, whoosh, silent as this right here. Stopped instantly. That's when you knew that you were in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Jesus was lifted up. The Spirit showed up. People's lives were changed. We know this. We prayed for multitudes. I don't know a number. We probably will never know that number, will we, Tyrone? And I'm sorry I'm going too long, but here's the deal. We know people were healed. People were set free from nightmares. I mean, children, 6-year-old children come up to you, and I go, what's going on? Through an interpreter. And the kid's eyes are doing this. Nightmares. Every night at 12 midnight, he would wake up with nightmares. Why? Because probably there was a covenant with the witch doctor in that community, witch doctors. So we prayed and prayed. Their nightmares left. Their pains, healthy young men that look like specimens, and their whole left side of their body's hurting. One kid couldn't even use his right hand. There's nothing wrong with him. Couldn't squeeze. On and on, and you guys could share more. You can come to them and ask. But they were set free. Healed, set free, nightmares gone, health, couldn't breathe. Now God opened their lungs. They could breathe. It was on and on and on and on and on. And I could preach, but I'm not. On Sunday morning, we gave out Bibles, and they just cheered and just got so excited. But it was just unbelievable. Thank you, church body. Come to them. Stephen was unbelievable. Those kids, he's an Azunga. And if you don't know what an Azunga is, it's a big white guy. The little children, Azunga, Azunga, Azunga. And man, this is Stephen. Man, they're hitting him and grabbing at Stephen. And one little kid, I'll finish with this and give it to Tyrone. One little kid came over on Friday on that deal that you're going to talk about, and came over and just walked up to Stephen. He's a little bitty, four years old, yeah. Julie. Walks up to Stephen and goes, and he's got a sucker in his mouth. I got a picture of that. Unbelievable. Tyrone.
Amen.
All right, so
you're Paul, buddy.
We're going to learn some language today. Tichewa, thank you, is Zikomo. Jesus is Yesu. Zikomo Yesu. So we just thank you, God. We thank you for this giving. So we made 260 kits for these families. We gave them out at the presentation. This was the most adorable thing we've ever seen. These kids are just demonstrating what they learn in James Preschool. They count to 20. They know shapes. They know the days of the week. They know the months. They know all this stuff. And I think maybe 15 or 20 kids came up and presented.
Yeah.
And of the 260. So they got these little goodie bags just full of sugar, soap, lotion, snacks, little cheese ball things. I wanted to get some so bad. I didn't know. And it was like Christmas for these people. So we were able to give because of what y'all give. We're not only able to go over there and just bless them with prayer and bless them with showing them how to look through the Bible and give them Bibles, but we gave them goodie bags. Yeah. We gave them things, snacks, and all this stuff that they're going to use every single day because of what y'all give every month.
Right.
So the feeding at BCV is just amazing. There's the Izungu. It was just amazing. I mean, the first trip that we took 2 or 3 years ago, there were so many of these kids that are running around with red hair. And you sit there and you're like, why does this kid have black hair and this kid's got red hair? It's the lack of protein in their diet. If they don't get protein, the hair doesn't grow properly and it turns red. Not a single one had red hair this time. They're getting fed 2 times a day, massive meals that were like they put me to shame. And these kids were wiping them out. It was amazing. So they get fed 2 times a day. They get schooled. They learn all kinds of stuff that whenever they get into the first grade, they are so far ahead of everybody else in their area. All these other kids that have it better off, that have solid intake or solid food, you know, solid foundations of living, these kids are coming out ahead of all the other ones because of the preschool, because of BCV, because of what y'all give. So what else do we do? We made bags for the volunteers with like more useful things for adults, laundry soap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many we made for the volunteers, but we got to bless all the workers with all kinds of stuff that they can use every single day.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. I can't explain I love BCV before. I loved Malawi before. I tell everybody I left my heart in Malawi. Some people are like, you going to Honduras? I'm like, no, sorry. Malawi's where I'm at. And going back 2 years later, seeing these guys fall in love, seeing these guys get lit on fire, and then seeing the corn mill up and running.
Yeah.
It's painted. It's making income for BCV. Seeing the church go from about 5 or 6 people to 60 or 70. And they've got 2 worship teams. They're doing ministry in under 2 years. That's a massive increase. So this is a great opportunity to give. This is a great opportunity to go if you have the grit to sit on a plane for 36 hours. 36 hours. You can't watch that many movies. So we have these flyers out front. They're by the door. I'm telling y'all, this is not just giving to somebody. Yeah, that's what it looks like. We got a little weird. Yeah.
That's Addis Ababa.
Yeah, that was in Ethiopia.
And no, we just act like we're smiling.
Those are really grimaces. So anyway, we have these flyers out front, and this is truly, truly, truly fruitful giving right here.
Yeah.
people will come back with videos. People will come back with stories. You can go yourself and come back with a whole wide range of stories. Very, very good opportunity. Fertile. 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 Yep. Dave?
All right. Oh, man. 36 hours. How many of y'all a game? How many of y'all ready to go? Tomorrow. Excellent. Excellent. There's your team next year. There's your team next year. So, yeah. So, we're planning on making this a yearly trip. So, be thinking about it. It is expensive, but God provided for all these guys to go, and so it's, man, great. Hey, do you have those, let's do this, you have those cans? Oh, yeah, so just to give you an idea of the poverty level in that, this is a great illustration Julie had, and then I'll get to my message, but these two cans represent minimum wage. One day's wage is this. So that's what they get paid, is about enough to buy these two cans. Well, the crazy thing is the money. You may say, well, it's cheaper over there. It's not cheaper over there. They base the prices on commodities on American prices. Gas is $4 a gallon there. Food, like a chicken, like a raw chicken that you could take and cook, is what?
$5.
Like, it's regular prices. So this is what they get a day. And so the poverty is real. The poverty is real. And just to let you know, we had some, we did some giving. The special offering that we took up during Missions Month, y'all remember that? It actually, a lot of that went to, so they're going to build a church since their church is growing. That money went to build, to lay the foundation of that church that's going to start going up. And so now that they have the foundation, they make the bricks
in the next couple of weeks,
excuse me. So and then they'll make the bricks by their hands. That's how they make the bricks. So just want you to know, it's really going awesome. Kelvin, Tadala, it's great to be partners with you guys. It's an honor to be partners with you guys. And look forward to more and more and more. Yeah, they're here today. If you have any questions about how you can be involved, how you can give, what the needs are, feel free to talk to those guys. They'll be here for like an hour after the service to answer all your questions. You're welcome. I just made it up. All right. Yeah, you can say.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe so bold. Let me just say this. Like, what they do there, it's so real. What they do is just, Pastor Jane and Pastor Ezekiel are real. They do it. They're doing it. They live sacrificially to help the people in this impoverished area.
They will go without food.
They'll go without food so they can feed the kids. Is that not true?
Yes.
Both of them, that's true. So they can feed. Could you imagine the pressure to feed 260 kids twice a day?
Yeah.
That's on them. So I want to just be so bold as to ask you guys, don't give through Hope Church, but get their paper. Go to their website, bcvinc.org. Get $10 a month. Give up two cups of coffee a month and send it to them, send it to those guys. Give up four cups of coffee and send them $20 a month. Every little bit makes a difference. And so I just want to encourage you guys, just do it. Like let your money make a difference and help people that can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. 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 It's a great lead into my message this morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. God, we just pray, and God, since we've mentioned them so much, Father, I pray for BCV. I pray for all those children. I pray, God, for all of the workers over there. Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in Malawi. And God, we thank you, and it's an honor to be partnered with you to push your kingdom forward, to present the gospel, to see lives changed, demonic strongholds broken. God, it's an honor to be partnered with you for this, for your people. And God, we pray for them. God, I pray every need is met in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, that orphanage will be running in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. And God, to you to be all the glory, God. And God, we thank you, God. I pray revival would sweep that land. I pray that all the witch doctors would be put out of business. And God, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, God, for it. in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. Life resurrected. That's what we've been talking about since Easter. And I want to continue on with that message. Maybe. Man. Okay. John 1. It says this in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, talking about Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him, in Jesus, was the life, and that life was the light of man. So we've been talking about that Jesus offers abundant life. Jesus called it abundant life. He called us to live abundant life. Right? Not just regular life, not just get along life. He called us to live an abundant life, full life, like the Jesus kind of life. Right? Right? It's called Zoe. Right? And that's called the God kind of life. It's not just breathing. It's not just, you know, your heart's pumping. I'm still here, still on the planet. No, it's called life, like real life. And we talked about how we talked about the fact. We use the example of the Chattahoochee. We talked about up in Helen, actually north of Helen. Like it comes out of a spring. Like the Chattahoochee starts out of a spring. It's beautiful, clear. You can drink out of it. And then other rivers come into it. And then it goes through Helen. And then it goes through Lake Lanier. Now that wasn't bad enough. It goes through Atlanta. And by the time it gets to South Atlanta, it is not good for a whole lot of anything. Matter of fact, they say don't even eat a lot of fish out of it, or you'll grow like an arm out of your head, you know. So what happens to that river is it's been polluted. That river, listen, is not the river God intended that river to be. Just like our culture, just like our lives, right? The life that we see around us, the life that we see has been polluted by the enemy. It's been polluted by all kind of stuff of the world and all kind of stuff outside. People trying to gain life outside of the things of God. And you have to tap in to the source in order to have and able to have, and if you want to have the God kind of life, you have to tap into Him. It's not found in anything else, right? It's God's life, the real life. And we talked about all the different things. We've talked about all the sin. We talked about how sin, basically, it just pollutes our lives. It pollutes our culture. It brings destruction wherever it goes. Sin does that. And you don't have to look real hard to see in our culture, a culture that's decided to say, we'll put God on the, you know, side burner, if He's on the burner at all, right? And now we see the results of a culture has turned their back on God. I'll ask this question all the time when I'm sharing my faith. I say, well, look at what we've done. We've pushed God out. Now, how is that working for us as a culture, right? And I could name all this stuff. And we talked about how we were raised in Romans chapter 6. It says that we were buried with Jesus, so that we were also raised with Him, so that we can walk in newness of life. That we can be, since we've been raised with Christ, we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And we said this, I quoted Greg Kreshel. He says this, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He didn't come just to make bad people good, right? He came to make dead people alive. And what sin did in our lives, it brought death into our lives. So we talked about that. And then last week, we talked about how do you live out of that life? We talked about the way to live out of the abundant life that God's given us is to live out of our spirit. We talked about the spirit. Listen to the podcast. It was really good. So the life of God, that when you were born again, the very Spirit of God came and dwelled inside of you, right? And so we have now peace, joy, right? The fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about it was love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Like that's in you. Like, yeah, self-control is in you, right? By the Spirit of God, it's in you. So we live out of our spirit. And so when we live out of our spirit, we put to death the deeds of the flesh, the Scriptures say. So that's what I taught about last week. But when you live, and we talked about this. Like last week, we talked about how we need to keep in step with the Spirit, Scripture says. And we made this statement. And we ask this question, like, why don't people experience, like, the real life that God has for us? And we made this statement. We said, you know what? It really doesn't work unless you're all in. Like, so many of us expect to live the fullness of God, but we're not really all in. So if you missed it last week, you missed some, you know, conviction. But I got some for more today. Mark chapter 8, we'll go there today. It says this. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It says, then Jesus called to the crowd, Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples. And he told them, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it. So you want to have life? Jesus says, lose it for Jesus' sake and the gospel. This is the oxymoron, right? You give up, like, in order to give life, you give up your life. In order to find life, you deny yourself. If you want to come after Jesus, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him to find life. To find life. It is the upside down kingdom, right? It's upside down to us, right? It's right side up to God. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, like, what does that even, like, we, like, for the sake of, what does that really mean? It really means for the purpose of, or for the motivation of. So basically, Jesus is saying, if you lose your life for the motivation of Jesus and the purposes of God and the gospel, you'll live. You'll live. Matthew chapter 6. He says this. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you'll drink, or what new car you'll have, or about this, or about that, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? That was not really. That was in the David version. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Listen to the trust that Jesus is talking about. The invitation that Jesus is, you know, instead of you doing it all on your own, Jesus says, I'll feed you. I'll care for you. Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Matter of fact, you'll actually take it away, worry and anxiety and stress. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow, and they do not labor or spin. You ever seen a flower like now? You ever seen a flower just going, I'm trying to bloom, right? I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not dressed like any one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he much more not clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, that's Jesus talking, it's not me. Jesus said that for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first, somebody say first, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. See, we have been rescued, Scripture says, out of the kingdom of darkness. Out of the kingdom of darkness. Into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Into the kingdom of Jesus. We've been pulled out of one kingdom into another kingdom. So that we can serve his kingdom. We've been taken out of one kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of Jesus. to serve in his kingdom. That's what we're here for. What we're here in this small little time on our planet. You know, so I'm turning 50 this year. 50. Thank you. Thank you. So when you know, some of you are younger than me, some of you are older than me. But the truth is, like, when you start hitting your 40s and 50s, you start thinking, this doesn't last forever. Yeah. Like, I'm 50. Hey, should I buy a house? Nope, don't have time. I'm not going to be paying a mortgage when I'm 80. No. Like, this is my last house. And, you know, maybe my last car. You know, you just go, like... I know. In Jesus' name. But you know what? In all of that said, you realize, like, this doesn't last forever. It's not like I have, you know, however many years God gives me. But we have this amount of time to live for what? For here? Do we have that time to live for here? To gain all the stuff? What we gain, we'll lose when we die. Like the old saying, you know, you don't see a U-Haul following a hearse. Like, for what? Like, you have this much time on the planet that will determine what you do for all of eternity, how you live for all of eternity. We live our lives for the kingdom. And Jesus says, if you do it, you'll really live. If you live like this, that's where you'll find life. You give it for the sake of the gospel. Like, this is not the message of our culture. This is not the message that we hear all the time. We say, just me. I remember I had one of my prized possessions when I was a young kid was my kayak. My parents told me on my birthday that they bought me a kayak. And this was like a fiberglass kayak. It wasn't, you know, it was a mail order catalog. They ordered it from a mail order catalog. And it came on like a big truck, right? I can't remember the name of the trucking company. I should remember the name of the trucking company. But it was like a, you know, a big 18. They were going to drive to my house and drop it off, right? And so, man, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for this thing to come in. I had my walkie-talkie. How many of y'all remember your walkie-talkies? And I get on, and this is not a joke, this is the absolute truth. I stood in my front yard, and I was going, breaker for a big truck, breaker, and I was going to ask any trucker if they had my kayak, because I could not wait for it to get there. But that is the honest truth. Finally, I got some guy who says, like, man, I'm not a big truck, but what do you want? Like, I was annoying people on the CB, right? Like, I wanted this thing so bad, and so I was in it, you know, and I finally, when we spent, like, our summers up at Lake Lanier, And so I got it, and I would just everywhere I'd go, and everywhere I'd kayak. And then, like, I saw my mom, and she was like, call me back in. She said, David, you know, this boy wants to try out your kayak. Mom? This is my kayak. And man, I remember, you know, and you know, moms, they just get their ways. They just get their way, right? So here I am, I'm standing on the beach, just like this. I remember. And like on the beach, and I'm like up in this much water, sitting there going. Is he done yet, Mom? Nope. Okay. And man, I remember just glaring at that poor kid who's out there just having a time of his life, you know. But that was my kayak. Don't take my kayak. That's mine. That's my paddle, you know. And you're not even really doing it right, you know. It's mine. You see that nature that's in us? It's mine. It's my life. Leave my stuff alone. It's me. Yeah. Yeah, I want it all mine. Right? But Jesus says, when we give, we live as a giver, and we live, give our lives for the kingdom, that's when real life comes. You trade your life for the purposes of Jesus. Abraham, he traded his homeland to be the father of a new nation. Peter and Andrew traded their nets to be fishers of men. Saul, later Paul, traded his fame to be the leader of the church. Corrie Ten Boom traded her anger and resentment to lead a Nazi prisoner guard to faith in Christ. Christine Kane, she traded a history of sexual abuse, shame, bitterness, to lead a worldwide organization called A21, a global ministry to end human trafficking, one victim at a time. They traded their lives. Jane Kimbo traded a life of American comfort to make a difference to the poverty-stricken children of Malawi. You trade your life for the kingdom. And does she sometimes go without food? But man, let me tell you, there is not a woman more alive than Jane Kimbo. There's not a woman more alive than Christine Kane. You ask those disciples, you ask those people who became leaders of the church, you ask Paul, was it worth it, Paul? Absolutely. Was it worth it, Jane? Is it worth it? Absolutely. Is it hard? Yes. Was it worth it? Absolutely. It's life. And we see glimpses of it. Let me just say this. We see glimpses of it, even people who aren't Christians. When they go out and they do good, and they say, man, I just feel great about myself. You know why? Because you're giving yourself away. It's how we were made. But Jesus said, I mean, that's like a branch, like, you know, I heard it described this way. It's like the vine of Jesus, right? We are the vine. It's like a vine that's been plucked off and laying on there. It's still a little bit alive, right? There's stuff alive and doing good humanitarian stuff. But to be hooked up with the purposes of God, be hooked up with what God's doing. Ask these guys who traveled 31 hours, 70 hours of travel back and forth. Ask them on that night when Jesus showed up in a physical manifestation if it wasn't worth it. Every bit. You say, man, those things are huge. I don't know that's me to trade all that stuff for the kingdom. But you know what you can do? You can trade a few minutes of your new app or Netflix to get on a devotional reading plan. You can trade your feelings of insecurity and inadequacy and to pray for your spouse. Grab their hands and pray with your spouse or your kids or your neighbor or your coworker. You can trade your own pride and share your faith with somebody else and bring up Jesus in normal conversation. You can trade your fleshly desires and live with boundaries in your moral life and live accordance to the Word of God. You can trade your own selfishness and go have coffee with someone who's going through a difficult time. You can trade your money that you were going to spend on yourself and give it for the purposes of gospel. Maybe for Nancy in Honduras. Maybe for Papa's Pantry. Or maybe you start tithing. Because we live for the kingdom. Like, this is not just for those big stories. It's doable for everybody. Let me just stop. As I was preparing this message, and actually during this series, I felt like the Lord said, this is a really important series for this church. Like, listen, if I just want a motivational speech, I'll go flip on and watch a TED Talk. I'm not about wanting a TED Talk. I don't want just... We want to be the church that moves the kingdom of God forward and that does something for the kingdom and not so wrapped up in ourselves. I heard somebody say one time, man, if you're all wrapped up, if you're all dressed up in yourself, you're overdressed. People of giving, of a heart of service. You know what we need to do? We need to live a consecrated life. What is a consecrated life? A consecrated life is a life that's set apart for the purposes of God. I brought an illustration. So we gave up coffee makers a while back ago. Much to my chagrin, my wife said, "Let's. We're going to start doing our own coffee press." I go, "Man, that takes a long time." But we did, and actually, I am a huge fan. I will never go back. So this is our coffee. This is one of our coffee presses. We have two for multiple reasons. But this coffee press is set apart. It's consecrated, if you will, to make coffee, right? I can take the thing out. I could use it as a mug. I could use it as a stir. I can use it as a mixing bowl, right? And I could probably make it work. I could use it as a number of things. But that's not what this was made for. This was made to make delicious coffee. And it does. You and I were made for the kingdom. And this thing is, let me just say this, this thing experiences real life, if you will, when it's doing what it was made to do. You will experience real life when you do what you were made to do. Everything in your life will scream against it. Everything in your life will say, I just want my selfish, I just want all for me. And listen, let me just say this. We can put our families. Your families are your great starting place for the kingdom. But they're not the only place. We're called to make a difference in our world. We're called to push the kingdom of God forward. And we do it as we consecrate our lives to the purposes of what we're called to do. Yes. And I'm telling you, I've done this. Julie and I, we've been doing ministry. Some of it was, I think since I was 21 and really started serving God, until now, I think I've been on full-time staff. I'm not even full-time staff now. I have worked and done ministry since I was 21 years old. And do we sacrifice? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. But you know what? When a young person comes up to Julie and I, I said, Julie, David, when y'all were doing youth ministry over at the other church, I want you to know that my life is different. I'm married. We're happy. We have kids. They're growing. We're teaching our kids the things of God. And if it wasn't for y'all, you forget about all the hard stuff. You forget about all the hard times. You forget that you were sacrificing. That moment, it's nothing like it. It's worth it. It's worth it. You're called to make a difference. You're called to push the kingdom. You are a believer. You're just not a humanitarian. You're called to push the kingdom of God forward. And do you do it in humanitarian ways? Yes, in the name of Jesus. Do we feed those kids over in Malawi? Yes, in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus commanded us to take care of the poor. It's how we live. And listen, church, we can keep all this stuff inside. We can keep everything that we have, and we can have our wonderful services, and we can hear great testimonies, and we can hear about what God's doing in our church. And that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But what about outside these doors? Parents, what about your own kids? What about your coworkers? I'm not telling you to go, you know me, I'm not telling you to go put a big fish sticker on your car. I'm not telling you to go put your Thomas Kincaid scripture verse on your back screen of your computer at work. I'm talking about living a life as a true, authentic believer who's unashamed of their faith, confident in what they believe. Paul says, I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I believe. Amen. It happens at our, oh man, I got so much to say. We'll talk more about it next week. I want you to bow your heads before even the worship team comes. I want everybody, I feel like this is a word from the Lord for our church. So the question is this. It's like, where are you in this arena? And maybe you say, you know what, I'm just barely even here today. That's great. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you just are going to put that Netflix movie aside for today and tomorrow, and I'm going to spend just a few moments with him. And you say, that's all I've got, and that'd be a big step. I say, do it. Do it. Do it. But there's some of us in here, you've been a Christian a while. And let me just say, there's a heavier demand on us to go and make a difference, whatever that looks like for you. And yeah, you can serve in the church, and that's great, and that's awesome. But there's people all around us. Maybe give up one of your afternoons and go serve at Papa's Pantry or even at Must Ministries, a great organization across town, and serve food or whatever that looks like for you. And let me just, as kindly but as pastorally as I can, we need to ask ourselves, what do I live for? Do I live for myself? Or do I live for eternal purposes? Okay, worship team, you can come on up. Thank you, God. You were made for this. And what the enemy would want to do is put you on a shelf. And say, you really don't have anything to offer. The great thing is God has empowered you by the Holy Spirit of God to make a difference. He has so infilled you with the Holy Spirit to make a difference. In Jesus' name, just ask yourself, what is my part? That's all God would ask. He's not asking you to sell everything and move to Malawi. Or maybe he is. He may not be asking you to give 50% of your income away. He may not be asking you to get involved with giving every night of the week. But I can tell you this, He's asking you something. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to do this last song. And I want you to, this is up to you. Whatever you want to do with this message. But maybe you'd say, I want to make that commitment to be kingdom-minded and not selfishly minded. If that's you, well, just all stand together. If that's you, we don't normally do this, but I'm going to do that this morning as prompted by the Holy Spirit. If that's you, as they do this last song, I want you to come. I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray with you. I want to help you seal that thing in your heart that you believe God's doing on the inside of you this morning. And let's watch the life of God just so fill your life. And you live the abundant life that He's called you to live. If that's you, I want you to come as we do this song.